Well, I desire your prayer tonight. I'd like to start in the 119th Psalm. I'm just going to pick out one verse here. It's 109th. It says, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law." Look into that a few times. Some say the actual meaning there, instead of soul, it should be life. And the writer was talking about the idea of danger in his life, and that it was non-ending, that he was always looking and facing danger in his life, and it was continually what he was doing. But I think the idea of the scripture as it's written here can be intertwined into that. I know that my soul, my life, not only my life here on earth, but my life in the afterlife, is continually in my hand. And tonight I'd like for us to open up our hearts, our minds, and accept the responsibility of our own souls. There's no reason for me to look around and say that you are the cause of my demise. Because you're not. You can't keep me from going to heaven. Oh, you might be an adjutant. You may even be an enemy. But you can't stop me from getting what God has for me. And when I go into those lines of thinking, I'm way off. And the devil wants to bring that. And I've heard it all my saved life of the ridicule or the people that come and say, this happened, and this is the reason, this it is. And you can just well forget all that, because the bottom line is going to come down between you, or I should say me, and God. And all the other things out there is the superficial parts. It's the thing that moves me either to God or it causes me to have needs or whatever it is. But honestly, there is no human on this earth that can take salvation from me. So I need to be responsible tonight. My soul is continually in your hands. I'm glad it's not. But it is, I think, continually, not that I'm great, but that the Lord has given it to me. A charge of my own soul is in my own hands. Now, I realize tonight as a minister, and this isn't a boastful statement, but I've got some years now. My hair is starting getting gray, and I've been around, seen some things. And if it's one thing I've seen and noticed is when the preacher preaches, and even when the people say an amen, that most of the time they go out the door and never apply what they heard, it don't mean anything. It happens on a regular basis. Lord will come in and warn or challenge or want to do something, and everybody says, amen, that was good. But then when they leave out of there, it don't make any difference in their life, and it's important that makes a difference. My soul is continually in my hands. It's my responsibility. It's not yours. It's my responsibility. I'm amazed sometimes as I think about the things that I hear. Back in probably September, I heard a story, a local story there at home. There's big news. The first news caption out in one morning was that a young man, a freshman entering into WVU, was killed last night. He died. 18-year-old, young man, enrolled just these first days, and he died. And I perked up. I didn't know the details of it. And then the next report I heard was that he was murdered. And I'm thinking the tragedy of that, the heartache. Those of children know what I'm talking about. Even if you've not lost them, you've thought about it. You know, imagine losing your 18-year-old son. He's just starting in life. He's just starting to go to college. He's got ambitions and desires. He's not brought no grandchildren home yet, but he's got all these things, and you lost him. You imagine that? I mean, I don't want to get personal, but Brother Shane, you're even Rocky. I mean, imagine even this congregation, if all of a sudden Rocky's gone, just like that. Yeah, it touches all of us. That's something that's there. So I listened on, and this was, what's the details of this? The young man went on to tell the story. The young man got stabbed to death. And now, there's nothing of opinion here, so don't read anything into this. This was a news article, right? That there was Hispanic alien that was, and there was a fight and a knife fight, and this guy pulls out and he kills this young man. And they're thinking, what a tragedy, heartache, all of those things. As the story goes on, finds out that the whole story was is that this young man was out at a bar at 2:00 in the morning and got into a knife fight with a guy and lost his life. His life spilled out on the streets of Morgantown. And I listened as this story went on because it was a touching story. And so they reported on the funeral. They reported on the loss. They reported on the pursuit and capture of the guy that did it. They did all of that. There was debate. There was commentaries. There was everything about this because it was such a stirring story. And never once, all the time I kept listening, I wanted to hear somebody say, I wanted to hear somebody that wanted to get to the bottom of it. You know what I said? If my young son was going into college and going to Morgantown, I'd set him down and say, son, don't die. Don't go throw your life away. Don't be found at 2:00 in the morning at the bars. Don't be doing going to that. Don't throw your life away. Be responsible for it. Who was to blame? The man with the knife? Well, yeah, that was to blame. Was society somewhat to blame? Yeah, there was somewhat to blame. But when are we going to start teaching ourselves to take responsibility for ourselves? The truth of it is that it's not a good life. I'm going to go to college, I'm going to drink, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to do this stuff. I'll be saying, son, amen, control yourself. Don't die. Don't die. You know, I never once heard anyone dare to say, maybe he was in the wrong place. Now listen, I'm not being somebody that piles on or jumps on or brings more heartache to people. I just want to say, be responsible. Parents, you lost your son. Teach him better. Son, don't give your life, throw it away. It's important. So, just weeks ago, there was another story out of Morgantown. Another 18-year-old freshman dies in one of the frat houses. 18 years old. Got into a drunken condition. And there was some kind of activity there. The whole story isn't even out yet. They're still looking into it. But he was in a drunken condition, and there must have been some kind of brawl or fight or something happened, and this young man, I don't think it was alcoholic poison or anything. It was just, there's something happened, and the guy died right in the dorm. He died. And I've been listening, and they started saying, who's responsible? That was the big question. Who's responsible? And everybody was saying, somebody's responsible because it's not legal for him to buy it. So somebody sold it to him and wasn't allowed to. Or somebody bought it and gave it to him that wasn't allowed. But somebody's responsible for his death. And I keep my ear cocked to the report saying, when is somebody going to come up and say, he was responsible? And again, I would say, and to all of us here, and to young people, listen to me. Don't die. Amen. Don't die. Don't throw your life away. Be responsible and realize that the life that God gives you is continually in your hand. Not only the life, but your soul, your eternal life, is continually in your hands. And it isn't the drug dealer's fault. It isn't the alcoholic maker's fault. It isn't the gun maker's fault or the knife maker's fault. It's your responsibility. I know people do things outside of the responsibility, but I long to hear, I am mourning sometimes over when I listen to the news of our country and they never really say, it's your responsibility. We have a great big news story that's been the last week or so, and it's been actually months of this, and I keep listening, somebody makes sense. Burn into the town, you know what the Ferguson is, burn into that. When's somebody going to step up and say, we need to be responsible for ourselves? When are they going to step up and say, no, it's not this fault, it's not that fault? And you know why it really gets to me? Because another young man dies. His life don't come back to him. It's not a dream. It's not a cartoon. It's not a make-believe world. It's not an animation somewhere. It's a real life that was lost at a very young age. And people looking around trying to point fingers and saying, this is at fault here. And this is at fault here. And this is over here is at fault. I'm going to tell you, the Scriptures is right about the whole thing. Your soul is continually in your own hands. You're not going to get to the end. And you know, it's the same. I brought that out. And we don't live that way for the most part. And sometimes we do. Or those that are around us do live that kind of way. And if that's the condition or the way you're headed, I plead with you tonight that you don't do it. And that you take responsibility for your own life. But beyond that, you know, if we're not careful, we do the same things with our never-dying soul. We put it in places that really shouldn't be. And then when something happens, we are crying foul that somebody hurt me. Or somebody done something to me, or somebody had a place of that. And I'm telling you today, in my own life, I can tell you surely, that God's got grace, if you'll pray and you'll look to God, God's got grace for you no matter what happens, that you can maintain your soul in this present world. You don't have to fall under these things. You don't have to go wayward. You don't have to have the devil take advantage of you. But you do have to take responsibility for your own soul. And by that I mean, when you get up in the morning, that day ahead of you is given to you by God, and you're going to be responsible for how you conduct yourself in it. And you can say, well, somebody did this and they're responsible, and somebody did this. But I'm going to tell you, God's got grace for you in the day that you have. You can live faithfully to that day. You're responsible. I'm responsible today for my own life. I'm responsible for the salvation that Christ brought into this world. The Scripture says about this great salvation, how shall we hope to escape if we neglect such a great salvation? You know that you have the privilege of waking up tomorrow morning and begging God to give you grace for the days ahead of you and pleading, and God will give you grace for that day. You have the privilege of praying. Amen. And privilege of taking care of the needs of your own soul. And when those adverse places come in there, you have the opportunity, ability, and responsibility to pray sweetness into your own soul. How often I see bitterness and things come out of there when the Lord directly does and forewarned the people from the pulpit. And I see the bitterness that comes out when the Lord tried His best to forewarn that it would be sweetness come out of that situation. And nothing but bitterness comes from it. You know, we're responsible for that bitterness that's there because God's got a great plan. I want to think a little bit about the reactions that we have to the things in life. I could go on in giving you the scenarios, and every time I hear of a young person dying in some kind of a bad situation and hear those that saying and trying to ask their whys and those kind of things, I just want to tell them they're dead. Think about that. And isn't it worth anything to change that? Isn't it worth it enough to say to your young people, don't be thieves, somebody will shoot you. Don't go around beating on people, somebody will shoot you. Don't live that kind of life in gangs and that kind of stuff. Your friends aren't good. And you got a bad way of going that way. It's a way to die is what it is. And I just want to say to them, don't do that. Take responsibility for your own self. Over in looking at the human nature of it, Lord help us, because we're human, and if we're not careful, we'll follow the same patterns. Over in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, well-known scripture, no doubt, the Lord here telling us of the beginning days of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had sinned, or Adam and Eve was created and was put into the garden. And Eve takes to that in the 3rd chapter. The serpent comes and he's more subtle. He's sneaky. He's deceiving and conniving. And he manipulates Eve into taking of the fruit the Lord said not to. Things begin to happen from that point. And in the 8th verse it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Well, you know, there's been a lot of messages on that, those three words. Where art thou? What's your excuse? You got one? I want to say something about excuses. The word excuse is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. There's the reason. It's a freedom. It's a pardon is what it is. You used to have to write, "Please excuse me for this or this." There's no trouble in having an excuse. There's a trouble in making one. You get my point? You know, things happen in life that causes us to do things that are out of our control. And in those kind of times is where you want to pardon. You'd want the Lord to say, Lord, forgive me, free me from the idea because I can't help it. The circumstances are bigger than I am. Just fell down the stairs, broke my arm and both my legs, and it's going to be hard to make Sunday service. Lord, would you pardon me? I sure wouldn't want to go. I love going to service and I'd want to go, and I'd go if I could, but right now I find myself in a predicament that I can't go. I don't see any problem with that. That ain't making an excuse. That's having one. The trouble is when you start making them. I had a guy, you know how people love to do preachers. I had a guy come up to me and say, "Now the reason I wasn't in service this morning," he says, "it's because I had to go grocery shopping." Now listen, I'm not a get into your life type guy. I usually mind my way and figure I got my hands full. You have to do yours for the most part until you come talking, and then I can be fairly opinionated. Well, this guy says, I had to go grocery shopping. And I said, "Well, did you now?" "Well, Brother Marty, you know you do. You got to have groceries." I said, "Truth. What did you do yesterday? What did you do yesterday?" "Yesterday was Saturday. You wasn't interfering with service. We didn't have service yesterday." That was an excuse. He had to make one, so he made one. He could have went shopping on a number of days, but he didn't. That's up to him and the Lord. But the trouble is making excuses. Because you know we're responsible. You can be responsible. So the Lord comes and says, "Where art thou? Where are you at?" You know, there's nothing wrong with being honest. There is nothing wrong with standing up and saying, "I'm having a real problem getting encouraged and enthused about something. I'm having a hard time." There's nothing wrong with going and telling the Lord I'm having a hard time with doing this. And my natural passion is kind of pulling me away. I'm having these other things that's conflicting. You want to go to heaven? We got a battle to go. You're going to have to be responsible for the feelings that you're having and stuff. Why not buck up to it, be man up to it, and face up to it and say, "I'm having a hard time going. Because I'm wanting to go and do this. There's a conflict." Don't make excuses. Because when you start making them, you're trying to justify something that's not really there. And you can get by with it with the people. But what a ridiculous thing to make an excuse for the Lord. He already knows all about it. So Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not? And the man said, yeah, Lord, I did. I sure wish I hadn't. Nope. He made him an excuse. The woman. The woman. That's my excuse. My wife. That's my excuse. Can't have victory over her. I just can't. That's not true. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about the way people deal with the stuff. My wife can't keep me from going to heaven. She don't have that kind of power. Oh, she could make it harder. I'd rather pull together. But you know what? She can't. She's not got that kind of power. What was Adam saying? The woman. Whose fault then? It was the woman. But there's somebody else involved here. The woman whom you gave me. Now obviously, Lord, had you not gave me her, I would expect a little more insight out of you, Lord, to be honest with you. You know everything, and you're pretty good at that kind of stuff, and you've been a pretty good creator. And in this walking around in the cold evening's been pretty good. But you sure dropped the ball on this woman you gave me. Everybody's fault but Adam's. Everybody's responsible for the fall but Adam. Adam wasn't, no, it was the woman that you gave me, and she gave it to me, and that's how it happened. And I'm just as good as sin. Listen, your soul's in your hands. It's something to cherish and love and want and your life and those same things, to do right, to live right, to live honorably, to have a good name. All those things are in your own hands. The dignity that we're to have in life, it's in your hands. You know you can tell the truth. You have trouble ever telling things that ain't true? People do. You tell the truth. Sometimes it's hard. Oh, I've told this on myself many times, but it's my pursuit of God. I was on the job one day, and the boss had a job he had given me, and he told me when he done it. He said, I bid this job tight. Too tight. And any flaws in this, and we're going to lose money. This needs to be got after. And so he gave the job to me. And the first day, another crew chief took the job and done it. And then I was on the job. And this day, we didn't do well. Let's just say that. And we come back, and the next morning when the boss comes in and he looks at the map when all the work was put in, and it's on a map, and he looks at that map, and he says, what is this? And I come over there, and, you know, I talked and said things that I know left him scratching his head. I know he didn't know what I said exactly. Of course, I don't know what I said just exactly. I just said these things and left him like this. And the guys that was on the job that day with me was there and all this, and I said that, and I turned to go away, it was this, and I know he was puzzled and things didn't look right. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you going to leave it that way? Huh? No, I don't guess. I turned around and come back over and said, no, I'm going to tell you the truth. We fooled around yesterday. We wasn't diligent. We didn't do our job right. And I'm sorry. And I'll make it up however I have to make it up. Give my own time for it if I have to. We'll make it up. And it was, I turned around the next time and felt like I was a little bug crawling on the floor. It was so humiliating to have done that. But I sure went home better than I would have if I hadn't have done it. And why? Because my soul's in my own hands. The guys knew what happened. And they knew what I said and believed, and they knew that I prayed, and they knew those things. And now what's he going to do? Huh? I'm going to have to face up to it. Where are you? Well, Adam, the woman gave to me that you made, gave to me, I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent did it. The serpent beguiled me. There's things out of our control. The serpent did it. The devil made me do it. The devil caused me to do that. The devil tricked me. He'll do it. But you're responsible for everything that you do. Lord, help us not to make excuses in our lives. You're going to be responsible and you're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account to the things that I do in my life. I'm going to have to say, this is why I did what I did. This is what is happening. Our society is going down, folks. You see it? You see the change in the society around us? Have you been backing on society? No. It's going down. And that causes you and I, if we're not careful, it causes us to have weaknesses in our life too. Because we're bombarded with these things all the time. We're bombarded with the things. It's technology. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. You know, when I was growing up, things wasn't easy. No, I didn't grow up saved. But you know, when I was young, it ain't like today with all this technology. As a matter of fact, we had a television, but it didn't do us a lot of good because you couldn't hardly watch it. We was up there in the mountains, and unless you've done something real special, you had this old fuzzy thing that wasn't much worth. I mean, sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. And Dad got kind of, he was kind of a guy that thought about things. So he had an antenna here and one here and some switches that you could throw and try to get some of that. And we thought we was really uptown because we got a couple channels that other people didn't get. We actually got one channel good and another channel fair and another channel almost to get it. And that's the way it was. And it wasn't like today with all this stuff. You know, if we ain't very careful, it's so easy that we can involve ourselves just so easy into things around it. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be responsible for it. You know, you can be responsible for your soul, for what you're doing, where you're going, what you're watching, what you're putting into there. You can say, well, the time got me, Lord, you understand. Or somebody that got me into it, right? The life that I'm living, doing, somebody just did things and it made me to do it this way. No. No, if you're not faithful, you're responsible. It's not other people's problem. You can rise above all of that and be successful in God and be a faithful servant of the Lord, responsible for your own soul. Read another scripture to you. Over in 1 Samuel. Oh, let's see. 1 Samuel 15, I think. You remember the story, the prophet comes to Samuel and says, Samuel, the Lord's remembered the Amalekites and what they had done. And the time has come. I want you to go down there and utterly destroy all of them. Utterly destroy. From the king to the lowest. Utterly means all of them. You know, utterly, not leave animals, people. Utterly destroy it and wipe it off that the memory would be gone of them. It was the judgment of the Lord. And he sends his servant, the king, to go do it. And I'm amazed by it because if he realized what Samuel actually did in taking the number that he took, which would have had to have been fed and watered, would have had to have been in ranks and captains and all those things to do it, he probably done 99% of what he was asked. But he didn't do what the Lord told him. You know, you can do all these things, still come up short of what the Lord really wants you to do. And, you know, and if we're not careful, we'll do the things that suits us to do. Well, it ain't hard on me to do certain things, so that's what I'll do. But when it comes down to really being successful and doing what the Lord said here, Samuel didn't do it. So, Samuel says in the 15 and... Oh, let's see, where do I want this one at? 14 maybe. 13 I'll go. It says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." What do you think of that? Did Saul believe that? Possibly. Possibly he believed that, sure put out a lot of effort to do it. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them," they, Saul. You see what the human nature is doing here? Immediately he begins to put it off. Who did it? They. I like to ask people, who are they? Oh, they do this. Who's they? You know, a lot of times they is it's not anything you can really get a hold of. The they doesn't really... Well, I want to know who they are. Who's the they? Well, Samuel knew, or Saul knew who the they was in this case. But a lot of times the they is you know, all of them, the church. They all, who's they of the church? Who's they of the church? Well, they. Well, now wait a minute. I'm a they. Well, one person was telling me one time, he was saying about the church was so legalistic, and it was doing all this stuff and this stuff and this stuff, and I said, okay, who? Well, this is why they believe why they're innocent and also the church. The church. They. Okay? Who's they? I who's they? And I try to get around it. No. You said it. I want to know. Who are you talking about? Who's they? Are you talking about me? No, Brother Marty, I ain't talking about you. Never thought you was like that. What are you talking about then? Are you talking about Brother Sammons? No, no, he said, I wasn't really talking about Brother Sammons. All right, I'm narrowed down two of us. I'm going to keep going because you won't tell it. I want to know. Are you talking about Brother Carl? Brother Carl, I used your name. Are you talking about Brother Carl? I said, you know what Brother Carl does? And I told him about you down in Holly Hill and spending half your time in the hospital praying for those people that was going to the hospitals and that. I said, you calling him legalistic over the... No, no, I ain't talking about Brother Carl. Who's they? Folks, you're going to have to be responsible for yourself. All the things and the accusations and all that stuff is not going to hold up for the Lord. You're going to have to be faithful to your own soul. You have to be responsible because your life is continually in your hand. And you're going to be responsible for what comes out of it. I never did get a good they in that situation. But there's always that there. But Samuel, but Saul says, Lord, they brought them from the Amalekites for the people spared. Oh, Saul, you didn't have nothing to do with it then, did you? No, not a thing. Not a thing. I didn't do a thing with it. Didn't really want them to. Tried to tell them you're going to get in trouble for the Lord. No. You know, he was king. And what kings say goes. And if the kings had ordered that you're not bringing anything back, you wouldn't bring anything back. Because he's a king. And he'd be a poor king if he couldn't tell the people that you can't bring that stuff back. But see the deferring of the responsibility? Whose responsibility was it to do what the Lord said? It was kings. Whose responsibility is for you to have grace? That preacher just dry as he can be. He's not anointed. The preacher's not anointed. I'm not going to church. The preacher's not anointed. I'm going to tell you something about anointing. Anointing goes two ways, folks. Yeah, we expect a preacher to be anointed. If he's dry, I don't care what he does if your ears ain't anointed. Because you don't know, you can't feel it, you can't hear. You've got to have anointing too. So is the preacher anointed? Well, I ain't going because the preacher's not anointed. I got in a way one time and went to service. I've told this before, I went to service. The preacher got up and was preaching. I couldn't really take it. Oh, dry. Come on with it, I'm thinking. Come on with it. Say. Dry. Awfully dry. It got over, Brother Jim White stands up and says, I was just glad it was over. Brother Jim White gets up and says, I want to thank the Lord for this good, stirring message. And I said, what's he talking about? And he started saying, when he said such and such and such, and I was thinking, I listened to that whole dry message, Brother Jim, and he never said that. Was arguing over what the Lord ends up telling me. It wasn't the preacher, it was you. You were dry, you wasn't wanting to be there, you didn't hear anything because you wasn't in the place to hear anything. I'm responsible. And so it is all dry and not anointed. Come with some anointing. Be responsible. Amen. You know this is ours. It's ours. We've got to make it work. It's ours. So Adam says it's the woman. The woman says it's the serpent. And Saul says it's the people. None of them was responsible. So you all better do it right so I can make heaven. No, I'm responsible for my own soul. Another scripture over in Luke. Fifteenth verse maybe. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he said to his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. They made them. They didn't have them. You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing to have an excuse. It's another thing to have to make one. Guy I know one time said that he was in service or there was a guy that he was talking to didn't go to service, and the guy said, the pastor asked him why he wasn't in service. And he said, because he ran out of peanut butter. Peanut butter? What's that got to do with it? The guy said nothing. But one excuse is as good as another one. So that's what my excuse is. Well, there you go. If you don't want to go to service, if you're out of peanut butter, it's close enough. Make an excuse. If you don't want to do what the Lord wants to do, you want to be slipped, run out of peanut butter. We're saying it's ridiculous, aren't we? But honestly, when you make an excuse, it's as equally as ridiculous. Unless you're just hiding it from people. But God knows. God knows. Live like God knows. With one consent, they begin to make excuse. Why? They didn't want to go. Let's just be put it where it's at. They didn't want to go. I noticed a situation that years ago of a guy that was always too tired on Wednesday night to go to service. Well, it worked. I understand you get tired. The old bodies give in. I mean, there's limits to things. And Wednesday night's a good place to limit out. Then you refresh yourself on Friday night basketball. Now, I don't know about you, but I exert a lot more physical energy in a basketball game than I do at service. To my shame, maybe I ought to have more exertion. But I don't, and basketball is usually that. But this guy was always too tired or sick on Wednesday night and always was well by Friday. And I looked at that and said, Lord knows. The Lord knows. You're responsible. Is that a real thing? I wonder if it'd be okay just to say, I'm not going to service because I don't want to go. You'd be a lot better off, I think. Amen. Just say, I just don't want to go. You pray for me, so I want to be different than that. I want to go. But no, that doesn't sound right to the human ear, so we make an excuse. I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. It isn't that enthusiastic to me. Anything else I'll do would be better than what I'm going and doing that. You know, I know that the Lord personally gives people things. I know that. I know that you can find food from the Lord yourself. But the Lord made a system for us to be blessed in. And it isn't by chance that we meet together on the Lord's Day. It was established by the Lord as a way of blessings, and gifts are given unto men for the edification of the saints, the people of God. And there's an order to it that we're going to be responsible for. We're going to be responsible for what we don't hear and what we hear. Well, I ain't responsible for what I don't hear. No, you won't be responsible. You make an excuse and don't go, you're going to be responsible. So this master makes a great supper. Now, is that a blessing? Think of what's at the great supper. This isn't just bread and water. He made a great supper. Go get these ones to come into my great supper. They said, no. What I'm doing is more important to me than what you're doing. So he says, go get them. And they with one consent begin to make excuse. The verse said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground and must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, I guess there would be some obvious questions involved in this. It's about supper time. What have you been doing all day? Well, maybe other things. Maybe they'll be tomorrow. Maybe you could look your land over tomorrow. Maybe there'll be another time to do it. Nope, got to do it. I got to do it. Folks, there's a thing that I run into quite often over the years. It has to do with an oxen. Scripture has talked about the Sabbath day, and the Lord talked about if a man's got his ox in the ditch, will not pull it out. So I've heard people say in the excuse line, well, I got an ox in the ditch. That's what happened. I was on my way to service and my ox got in the ditch. A metaphor or an analogy. Got in trouble somehow. Something they was doing got in trouble. And it's legitimate. Things happen. But can I just tell you something? If you got one ox, you probably keep him out of the ditch. You get another one, you're twice as likely to have him in there. And you get three and four and five and six, and you get your herd of them, and just you got 100, and now you got 200. You're going to have one in the ditch all the time. And you can make an excuse and say, I got an ox in the ditch if you want to, but you're the one that's getting the oxen to get in the ditch. And the Lord wants you to be responsible for your own soul. And you can get your soul, you get your life so busy. And I'm preaching against busyness and overdoing it because it's a plague. And the Word of God is warned us against it. Don't entangle yourself. Start selling off the oxen because you're not doing what's required of your soul, and you're making excuses of it and going and buying. I've seen people in trouble, and they go buy them another ox. I'm thinking, what do you want? What are you doing? What are you doing? You just come to me telling me how all your other stuff was binding out and how you didn't have time for the Lord, and we prayed at the altar together, and we did all this, and the next week, you go out and get some more oxen. Lord, help. You're going to be responsible for your oxen. If they're taking up your time and taking the things from your soul, I would say to you, get rid of them. Find a way to get rid of those oxen. Because you're responsible for those things. I had a guy say to me one time, saying and telling me, he said something about going to camp meeting. He said, brother, I can't go to a camp meeting. He said, I've got to work. He said, I'm so far behind now. He said, I gotta be at it. I gotta make money. I don't have money to go. I don't have the money to go, and I can't take off time to go. Well, I know life gets that way. I know it. I live life too. Work jobs, and I know how life is. Next time I seen that guy, he wants to show me Well, what he done was, he went and got him a travel trailer. And he needed a truck to pull it with. You can't just go. And I'm standing there saying, you ain't never going to camp meeting. See what I'm saying? So he's got a good excuse. Can't serve the Lord because I got debts. I got things I got to do, responsibilities. I'm in faithful. Paying my bills, doing those kind of things. You know, make your excuse. But you're making an excuse. I'm going to make me an excuse. I'm going to get me some oxen. They'll be in a ditch all the time. I'm making me an excuse. So people will look and say, he's got an excuse. Oh, well, I don't blame that, brother. I ain't talking about us blaming it. But I want to tell you, I got a burden for this. Because I go around and I got a burden to see the people of God more richly blessed of the Lord, more free to do the work of the Lord, more free help them to do the Lord, and less excuses. I want to see the church is full at the time it's supposed to be. I want to see the seats in there, and I want to see people giving up there. And you say amen to that message. And it does nothing when you go out the door. This guy says, I got land. You bought the land? You need to go look at it. You be responsible for it. Read the story one time of, I believe it was John Wesley, friend of his, is in England back in the 1700s, I guess. But he said, I want to show you my property. And he said, Wesley says they ride all day on horseback. All day long. Looking at his property. At the end of the day, they're sitting on a rise looking. And the guy looks at John Wesley and says, now what do you think of that? And Wesley's response was, it's going to be awful hard to get rid of. It's going to be awful hard to turn loose of. As all he could see was, you're going to have a big struggle letting loose of such a grand property that you have. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. But it's going to be hard to do. Got some land that I got to go see. Another said, oh, and he says, I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. excuses. Now who's going to buy 5 oxen before they're proved? Come on. Got me 5 oxen, I've got to go prove them. I know what it's like to feel that way. You know what my prayer on Sunday morning, most every Sunday morning is? Lord, help us to put aside the cares of life, the work, the duties, for a little while here this morning, that we can absorb, that we can get what you got for us. I know what it is to have these things, and this day that we take off from all that, and how sometimes that duties of all this stuff is a pulling and doing this and doing this. This is the time you have to let it go. I got some oxen, I got to prove it. Oh, how exciting. Honestly, how exciting. Something new to play with. Something new to get something done with. The old ones just wore out, and these are going to pull. They're strong. They're going to pull. I'm going to watch them. Man, I've been in. I'm going to watch them do it. Don't mean nothing to you, but in a farmer or somebody to use them, oh, that'd be like a new tractor. It'd be like something good. Something new. Folks, those things are going to hinder us. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So your wife can't go to supper with you? Excuses. They made excuses because there really wasn't any excuse. None of those. None of those was a real excuse. None of them was. Every one of those could have been laid down. And, you know, recently, I don't remember exactly where it was at, I think it was Dallas, but somebody exhorted the idea of the scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, I've heard that a lot, but it never absorbed like that exhortation absorbed. They said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know, the way they brought it out was, there's nothing wrong with land. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with oxen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Nothing wrong with having a wife. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, nothing wrong with having a family. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with being going and making money and doing it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with the things that we do, the activities. You got things you want to do. There's nothing wrong with going fishing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You like to hunt? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All of these things are not evil or wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Without excuse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You don't need an excuse. Lord, all this is to glorify you. I'm going to put anything before God. Everything is here in God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, these folks missed it. If it was possible to be standing there as people go off out into eternity, they'd see it different. They'd see it different. The words may not mean nothing now, but it'll mean something then. And I feel the same way tonight like I feel about those young men that put themselves in a situation and lost their lives. I feel the same way. I feel like countless people. And it isn't a feather in my hat. It does nothing for me personally. It's a burden of the Lord to say, be responsible for your own soul. You're the one who's going to have to give an account for it. I'm going to have to give an account for mine. And I'm going to be careful with it. And do what I need to do. And whatever I do, I want to be able to do it. I've had to make apologies, folks. It's been tough. I've done some foolish things before. I didn't mean them to be hurtful. I didn't mean to do it. I got carried away. I got excited. And I said things. And then I had to make them right. And I had to do it. And it's hard to do. But something in there says, you got to do this. You got to take care of it. And folks, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And you say, no, I'm not going to do it because it was their fault. You better take care of your own soul. Because you're going to be responsible to that. And you can look through the scriptures and you'll find out that the faithful men of the Bible wasn't excuse makers. They wasn't excuse makers. They was people that said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The 51st Psalm was about a man that failed drastically in his life. And he had done the unspeakable evils for a man of his stature. And he got into a place that he lost his graces of God. That psalm is about one that takes the responsibility of his actions. And he says, Lord, it was me. I've sinned against thee and alone, only thee. I'm the one. I have failed you, Lord. It's me. It's me that did it. He didn't say it was for this or this or because you did this, because you failed, Lord, about this. But it's me. It's me tonight. Folks, tonight, be responsible for your own soul. Make your own definite moves to the Lord. Make sure that none of these things... I know we have issues. And you're always going to point to somebody, say this or this. I've always been amazed at somebody that tells me I ain't serving the Lord anymore because somebody done something to me. Because and if you got an explanation for me that I can understand, I'd hear, I'd listen, I'd try to understand it. But I can't understand it. Because you can't offend me away from Jesus. I mean, you can't offend me away from Jesus. Because it has nothing to do with you. And how do they get offended away from Jesus? I mean, to me, I always use this analogy. It's just like Brother Clint comes up and says, Brother Marty, I don't like you. I never liked you. I think you're ridiculous and I don't like you. And I go home and say, Linda, we're through. We're through. Brother Clint don't like me and we're through. I'm getting a divorce. What difference does it make? And what difference does it make to the Lord? You offend me away from the Lord. It's not true. Folks, it's an excuse. It's an excuse. You're making an excuse. It's not true. Find Jesus in your own life. and be responsible. Don't allow the world out there that teaches such, they're teaching our young people not to be responsible. They're teaching them that somebody else is the reason for their faults or some kind of a cultural problem or something like that. Rather than teach them, quit you like men. The scripture says, quit you like men. Bear up under that. Be a man. Show yourself strong. So it can't be done. You be a leader. You lead them for it. You show us how to live for God. If you think we ain't doing it right, you show us the better way. You encourage us. Make a difference. You're responsible. I'm going to be responsible for my own soul. My prayer is that the Lord would help me to accept my responsibilities. As I go through life, that I would accept those responsibilities, because I'm the same. I'm frail like everybody else, and at times there's times that I want to try to throw the buck off on something else and said, I would have if. But Lord, help me to take the responsibility for my own life. You pray for me.